Boom, shaka, laka, boom. You've tuned in to the Free Range Human Show of Choice, your daily dose of reality radio. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I am Clay Edwards. We are live on 103.9 FM. If I ain't said it before, I'll say it now. WYAB, streaming worldwide at WYAB.com, as well as the TuneIn app or Alexa. Just search WYAB. If you're streaming with us this morning, I told y'all on Facebook, get in early, get in now. It does. It's like a sold-out concert. When the spaces are full, the spaces are full. I ain't exactly sure what the cutoff number is, but we hit it just about every day, and I knew today was going to be no different. We got a huge story we're going to talk about here in just a second, but first, if you guys want to chime in, the Guns and Gear text line is 769-241-1944. The phone line, the Mazda of Jackson phone line, is 601-879-0002. And real quick, speaking of Mazda of Jackson, guys, get over there to Mazda of Jackson today and check out the all-new CX-90. I got beside one at the red light the other day and was legitimately, before I even realized what I was looking at, I was like, man, that is a really good-looking crossover SUV. You've reached peak adulthood, by the way, Sean. We have Sean York Caron in the studio with us. Sean, you've reached peak adult when you look over at a crossover SUV and think, that is a really nice crossover SUV. I wonder how many soccer balls I can fit in the back.
That's true. Your taste in cars seem to change the older you get.
It really does. Like, I bet I can get in and out of that one really easy.
I mean, really not. I bet that's a comfortable ride. Like, you're thinking about comfort.
It is, man. Look, Mazda. I don't want to say Mazda's come along with it. They've always been good vehicles.
Sure.
RX-8s and stuff like that.
Oh, those are so cool. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But look, man, check them out over there. Everybody wants low interest rates. They got them. 1.9% for 36 months on a 2024 CX-30 Premium. They've also got 3.9 if you want to drag the payment out a little bit longer, get a lower payment. 3.9% for 60 months on the 2024 CX-5 Carbon Edition, and that also includes 750 APR cash. But here's what's really cool about doing business with a locally owned Mazda of Jackson. You're going to get a free, that is no additional charge to you, lifetime powertrain warranty. So, man, that's a big deal right there. Also, just to as a nice little thank you, you're also going to get a 43-inch TV with any purchase, new or used. Flat screen, of course. No box TVs. I don't guess they even make those anymore.
I don't think so. Not in a while. I bet you there's a lot of people who don't even know what we're talking about.
No, like, huh?
It's a box TV.
Look, man, here's the other cool thing, too. And I want to make sure I say this every time I do an ad read for them. When you do business with Mazda Jackson, the owners, husband and wife duo, Chris and Cassidy, are sitting there on the sales desk. They are working the deals. They are looking at them, making sure it's the best deal for all parties involved. And once you do business, you're going to get one of their phone numbers, and you're going to have the ability to call them with any questions, complaints, comments, whatever. You're not going to have to go through the salesperson and then through a manager and then to the owner. None of that. They cut the middleman out of all that. You're going to do business with the owner. That goes a long way. Check them out, MazdaJackson.com, located right there on frontage, I-55 Frontage Road at Briarwood. That's Mazda of Jackson. It's the old Mercedes-Benz building right there in Jackson, if you're having a little time jogging your memory about where exactly they're located at now. They were on County Line years ago, and then they moved over there. All right, Sean. Let's see here. Big story happened yesterday. Let's jump straight into it.
Yeah.
No point in tiptoeing around it. Got out of here yesterday morning. There was a murder in Rankin County, which seems like we've been saying that a little bit more here lately than normal. WLBT don't keep a Rankin County murder tracker like they do Jackson, but I'm guessing that if I had to go and look, if my memory serves, I think this makes four or five for the year if we're just lumping Rankin County all together.
Mm-hmm. There was the guy that dressed like a girl, remember?
Killed
that
his wife.
Yeah, that dude.
Then there was the black kids, the drive-by shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That two of them got killed. Or maybe not drive-by, but it was a gun deal gone bad.
Yeah.
My understanding. And ironic, that appears to be what yesterday's was as well. So then you had that one. I want to say there was a fourth.
Yeah, there was one. I can't remember which one it was. It was like two in a week or something.
Yeah. So then you have yesterday where somebody got killed. You've had the other kid, get killed in Jackson from Rankin County by Rankin County kids, mm-hmm. allegedly. Anyway, yesterday, Bryson Horn was found shot dead in his mother's home out there by the reservoir in Rankin County. That happened around 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, something like that. What it looks like here, according to Sheriff Bailey, on Tuesday at approximately 9:49 a.m., the Rankin County Sheriff's Department received a report of a gunshot victim at a home on the 300 block of North Grove Circle in the reservoir area.
Is it Belgrove? Or?
Yeah, I think so. It's Belgrove. Okay. And I started getting some texts from people that, oh yeah, somebody, Amber texted in. The other homicide was the Northwest Rankin school teacher that got killed by her mom.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. No, I'm sorry. Northwest Rankin school teacher that got killed by her daughter. So this happened about 9:49 a.m. is when the call came in yesterday morning that there had been a gunshot. The mother discovers her son. She gets home from whatever, finds her son there on the couch with a gunshot wound to the head. He's 20 years old. I'm sorry, 20 years old is still a kid to me. I know you're not legally, whatever. She finds her kid.
Was it on the side? I thought I read it was on. Am I wrong about that? I thought I read it was like on his side. Was it on his head?
I thought it was side of the head.
Okay, side of the baby was. Maybe it was.
That's what I thought. So, gunshot wound. Yeah. For like, we'll just say that. So she discovers him, calls 911. They come out. They're not able to save him. You know, he may have already been dead. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fast forward 2 hours. Once there's a manhunt going on, all this other stuff. I'm on the road, not able to kind of look at this and keep up with it. Once I get parked and situated, no sooner than I get to the house, the manhunt's over. The suspects go to the Rankin County Sheriff's Department and turn themselves in. Sean, that's kind of a red flag for me. You know,
what do you mean?
Well, in the sense of, is this story going to pan out like people want it to? Like, you know, by people, I mean people online, the media. Oh, these two people, they killed him. There's no questions asked. There's no gray area. They went over there. It was premeditated. That's what they went to do. Mm-hmm. So, man, I don't know. Do you do that and then go turn yourself in a couple hours later? Or do you enjoy your last few moments of freedom and say, what's the difference? They're going to have to come find me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen it so many different ways. I mean, I've seen them turn themselves in before, you know, just talking about Jackson, where that'll happen. They're out looking for him. A lot of times that's not the same day, but sometimes it has been. So I've seen that. But the way you described it to me on the phone yesterday about how they did it, they, like, pulled up in the parking lot and Jared Bailey was just standing out there. Is that correct?
Maybe in his car at the front door or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know the play-by-play. But I was told from a pretty good source over there that they pull up. The first person they run into is Brian Bailey, whether it's inside or outside, whatever.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, do you know who we are? Something to that extent. He's like, no. They're like, we're the ones that are involved in this. Y'all are looking for us. Yeah. Something to that extent is my understanding. So they obviously, you know, arrest them, question them. And next thing you know, police are heading back over there because there's another guy who can actually be seen in the videos from WLBT to the live stream. They can be seen in the video raising hell with the police and all that.
Mm-hmm,
they go back and arrest him, and there's a confrontation of some sort there, a fight between, I believe, him and the cops. Nobody was injured. He got arrested, I'm guessing charged with assaulting a police officer. I don't know. They never came back out and said that part.
I saw that, the assault, there was an assault, but the officer was not injured in whatever the assault was.
So let's rewind a little bit. All right, so 20-year-old Bryson was killed. Bryson Horn was killed yesterday. Well, no, let's take the names of the suspects. But I want to circle back to, obviously, the thing that makes this the most sad.
Yeah.
The names of the suspects. Where did my thing go? This went from a screenshot. Here it is. Scott Duett, 20 years old, of Brandon, and 20-year-old Lainey Bella Engel, also of Brandon. I believe they're both 20. Yeah, they're both 20. They're the ones that were involved in the shooting.
Right, right.
Okay, so I told this story way better when I was doing like a short form video of it. Once you get long winded, it's like there's so many pieces to this puzzle.
Yeah, there is a lot to this one.
This was what the media is not telling you is this was a gun deal.
Yeah.
Gone bad.
That's what I'm sources I've talked to said the same thing.
Yeah.
That's a gun deal.
This was a gun deal gone bad. I haven't quite figured out who was buying, who was selling, because I've heard conflicting stories about once the cops got there, I guess the cops that took them were taking the money and the gun for evidence.
Yeah.
And they said that the mother called trying to get her gun and money back out of evidence. She wanted her possessions back.
Okay.
So I don't know which one was hers, the money or the gun.
I don't know. You know, that makes me think of something. I just used to always think about this. Because, I mean, gun deals gone bad or something, it does happen. Just like drug deals gone bad. Just go to it happens in Jackson all the time. Why is it going bad? Like, either you're going to buy the gun or you're not. I just always felt like that. I was like, just buy the gun. Like, why do you think it could go bad?
Because I think who wants the person probably buying the gun gets it in his hands, he points it at the other people and robs them.
He just wants to get his money back at that point.
He keeps the gun and the money.
Yeah. I know. It just seems like you rob somebody in a different way than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so this on the surface obviously looks bad. Mm-hmm. You got two white kids involved in the murder of a black kid in Rankin County. I mean, whether it's about race or not, that's definitely a component when stuff like this happens in the South. So, I mean, that's what people are making the biggest deal out of online in the comments and, all that chatter.
Which has got nothing to do with it.
It does not. Nothing. This was from the best I can tell from some of the photos I've seen of the white kid, he's about that life.
Yeah, that's what my sources have told me, too, that, all these kids are kind of in some little tiny, gang cabal or whatever, or wannabe gangsters, kind of thing. Like, they're rolling that way, all these kids.
Yeah, all of them. And I keep referencing NBA Youngboy and rappers of that ilk.
Yeah.
They all listening to that, just like we listened to Tupac and all that back in the day and thought we was West Side.
Yeah, exactly.
Except I was throwing up a big S, not a W, South Side. I get it. I'm not hating on the kids, for being kids, and it is what it is, but I don't. It's like a conversation we're going to have later on the show about why black Gen Xers so angry. We all grew up doing the same things together, and somewhere there was like a split, and I ain't quite figured out why, but same thing with today's kids. Like with the younger generation like that, there's no racial animosity. It's they just happen to be friends or acquaintances, and a deal went sideways and somebody got shot.
That's what it seems like to me. I mean, I don't think there's a racial component to this at all. But I mean, that's the first one we got to jump to. Obviously,
oh, sure.
That it's got to be some sort of, now it's a white on black crime. So that's a hate crime. And then it's just, I don't know. I mean, I know people are going to want to equate it to that for some reason, but obviously these kids are up to no good. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not pleased. I don't want anybody to sit here. I'm thinking I'm caping for the white kid that pulled or anything, or trying to paint a case for him. I'm not. I mean, I think they were doing some dumb stuff.
Yeah.
20 years old. I'm gonna be honest, Sean. I wasn't responsible enough to have a pistol of my own. I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just saying I was not responsible enough looking back before I was in my 32, 33 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see, I mean, I had a gun at that time, but I was in the Marine Corps. I mean, and a little different, but yes. It's on my own personal, yeah.
A little different.
But
I was running nightclubs in downtown Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, so, but I think, yeah, if you're just like a 20-year-old kid and you're going to Holmes Community College or Hines Community College, like, I don't know that you need to constantly have a gun, but hey, each his own.
I get it. I'm a Second Amendment guy.
Sure.
I'm. You will never catch me without one now. But I'm just saying, was I mentally all there to be responsible enough at that age? I was a late bloomer mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, just really getting in the nightclub business early and living that life and partying and drugs and everything else. I was not mentally responsible enough to own a gun.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of kids that are, kids that grow up hunting and things like that.
Sure.
I'm sure there's tons of those kinds of kids that are. But I know what you're getting at with some of these kids don't need to be, why are they carrying a gun in this, dude's house and hanging out? Just like this is related to the other case that we talked about in with the Cameron, the brother of this kid.
Well, yeah, that's what we were going to get to.
Yeah.
Just a month prior, his 14-year-old brother was killed under similar circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody he knows comes to the house, picks him up. They go to Jackson. I don't know to do what. And he gets shot a couple times and left dead in Jackson while the two kids go back to Rankin County.
Yep, that's what I heard about that. And they were all, I heard they were all carrying guns too, all of them. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but that's just kind of
well.
What
I mean,
they were.
Going to Jackson, you know, especially that part of Jackson they were going to, the South Jackson side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a bad deal. Let's take our break. Come back. I want to peel this onion back a little bit more. I want to read some text and just kind of dive into a deeper discussion about all this stuff. This is the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yurtcharan here on WYAB. We'll be right back. Show. Hey, guys, the Clay Edwards Show pick of the day out at Burgers Blues Barbecue in Flowood. Yesterday, it was the Smoked Nashville Hot Wings. Today, it is the Buffalo Chicken Wrap. Look, you can get it fried or grilled. I always go with the fried. I'm just going to be honest with you. I like fried chicken. It's hand-battered chicken strips stuffed in the wrap there, and you get the buffalo. It's rolled in the buffalo sauce. You can't go wrong. Try the Buffalo Chicken Wrap today at Burgers Blues Barbecue in Flowood. And it, your choice of sides, you can get hand-battered onion rings or fresh-cut fries. I guess you can also get fried pickles if you so choose. I always go with the fresh-cut potato. It's just so good. But fresh-cut fries, you know. But the hand-battered onion rings are phenomenal, too. Try either one. Again, the Clay Edwards Show pick of the day at Burgers Blues Barbecue Flowood is the Buffalo Chicken Wrap. If you're being a little more health conscious, you can, in fact, get that with grilled chicken. So check it out today. And, of course, try one of their award-winning famous hamburgers. This month's special is the Bacon Jam Smash Burger. And, hey, got a little yearning for breakfast this morning? They're open for breakfast from 6:30 to 10:30 right there in Dogwood. They share the building with Chipotle right in front of Dick's Sporting Goods. If you're heading east on Lakeland Drive, 25, whatever you want to call it, they're right there on the right. You can't miss it. Right at the entrance. Parking is around the entrance is around the backside of it. So the part that faces 25, that's like the side of the building. You pull in and pull around what you would call the front is on the back if you're looking at it from 25. So be sure to check them out. Enjoy a cold beer on the patio, mixed drink, whatever. And don't forget the reversed happy hour, as I call it, the third shift happy hour. For all you folks getting off at the hospital, been working that night shift, need a little mimosa, need a Bloody Mary, how about a draft beer? They got specials on all three every morning during what the rest of us call breakfast time. So get by there, check it out. We're going to be doing a Clay Edwards Show. I don't want to call it a meet and greet. I don't consider myself famous to have a meet and greet, but it's like a meet and greet each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to meet you guys. Y'all can meet us, whatever. We're going to be doing that there soon. So stay tuned for details on that here in the next couple of weeks. All right, Sean. Oh, burgersblues.com for more information on Burgers and Blues. Oh, hey, real quick, the plate lunch special today, Wednesday, is red beans and rice with sausage or hamburger steak. The side is mashed potatoes and green beans. Man, you know, hey, if you're on that keto, man, that hamburger steak is always a nice, safe bet. All right, Sean, let's circle back here to the Rankin County homicide that we were discussing.
Yeah.
So what makes this really sad, and I don't care about any of the sideshow stuff, any of how we got to this situation. I just want to look at the mother for a second here. Mm-hmm. She's lost two sons inside of almost 1 month to the day.
I mean, horrible. That's just
to gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody, conservatives, we've been beat upside the head so much by the progressives that want to take guns and all that, and they use the word gun violence, you know, and it's become a dirty word in our world. Go, oh, you say gun violence. The gun didn't commit the crime. The people did. I get it. But it's still gun violence. It was violence with a gun. It's gun violence. Yes, people kill people, not guns. But they use guns. So she's. I had somebody get on me last night in the comments on something, and I was like, no. You're hearing this wrong. So condolences for the mother. I don't care what was going on, again, what the reasons were, what led to it. None of that. You lose two sons. That's sad.
Yeah.
They had moved out of Jackson about 2 years ago to Rankin County, and they just weren't able to shake off. You know, they get out to Rankin County and find out there's some kids out there doing dumb stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, we know Jackson is far worse than Rankin County, I mean, in terms of crime. Everybody knows that. But, I mean, the old saying is that it can happen anywhere. I mean, that's true. I mean, it can happen anywhere. Bad things happen everywhere.
We were talking during the break about the gun. And we kind of ended the segment talking about maturity levels with guns. And I was just making the point that I was not mature enough to have a gun at that age. Not saying I didn't have them here and there, but sometimes I had the self-awareness to say, I'm not mature enough to have this. I'm going to make a bad decision with this. And I'd rather just kind of have to deal with not having it than having it at the time. Because gosh dang, man, you lose your temper, you shoot somebody, you can't take that back.
Yeah.
You can't take that back. But there are obviously kids who are mature enough to have guns, right? We were talking about them. I mean, there's the 4-H guys.
Yeah.
I'm using that as a catch-all, by the way. Like your 4-H, your what are those kids that do the military stuff in school?
ROTC.
Thank you. ROTC. You got your ROTC kids. There's clearly kids that were raised in gun families. They go shooting with their parents, all that stuff. And they're perfectly capable of having a gun. But then you get kids, and you know, we'll talk about this 20-year-old here, the white kid. There's pictures of him online throwing up gang signs and stuff. Man, if you're out in Rankin County trying to live that gang life, and you don't need a gun.
Yeah, no, that's what at the break I was saying. Like, you know, if you're chilling in downtown Brandon and you're 20, you know, it just doesn't. Why are you carrying a pistol? I mean, that's just I don't know. I mean, unless maybe you're one of those guys we just talked about. But otherwise, just like I feel like they're doing that. They're trying to be cool. Like I'm carrying this gun, but you're not
100%.
You're not hanging in South Jackson where you actually need the gun. Which if a 20-year-old in South Jackson, I kind of get it. You know what I mean? Like why you have a weapon with you? But
sure.
But you know if you're hanging out over there, wherever all those nice restaurants down in downtown Brandon. I mean, I don't know. If you're 20, it just seems a little weird.
Yeah, like I said, man, it's a sad deal. Mother-in-law loses both kids. Gun deal going awry. Let's read some text. Speaking of guns, the Guns and Gear text line. And look, hey, this is a great example, not to tie this into a plug here for a business, but this is a really good example of why you buy a gun from a gun store.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they're not old enough. They were 20 years old. You know, some weird law there. Like, you can own
totally
a firearm, but you can't buy it.
I totally forgot that too. You just said that. Didn't they change? It's 21 to buy a gun. Is that right? I always forget what that is. Okay.
Yeah, but you can own one under. We learned this with the. Now, obviously, Mississippi laws are different. I'm not 100% familiar with them. They don't affect me. I'm 30. I'm 30. I wish. 46 years old. But I like a kid, I think it's under 18 can have a long rifle or a rifle shotgun.
Okay.
And I think it's. Over 18, they can have a pistol, but you can't buy it till you're 21. If somebody's listening that knows for sure, let me know about that. But if you can own it, you should be able to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Because now you got kids having to go buy stuff off the streets that do decide they want it. And there's their legal constitutional right to own a firearm.
Right.
But they can't legally buy the firearm. That's like telling me I'm old enough to drink, but somebody has to buy it for me.
Is that a federal law? I have no idea about this.
I'm not 100% sure.
I know that.
I guess
our Second Amendment guys will know this. You know.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Maybe Hunter's listening over at Guns and Gear and can let us know. But let's see here. Let's read a few texts. Amber says, he was shot in the side, not in the head. So, all right, we do have confirmation. Hunter did just text. Says it's 18-year-old to buy a long gun, i.e. shotgun rifle, 21 to buy a handgun, but can possess a handgun at 18, but can't buy from a dealer till 21.
Okay.
So we were right on that.
All right.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't really make any sense, no. I mean,
like, you can avoid situations. I mean, look, people are still going to buy used guns, stolen guns, stuff of that nature. I understand it. You're not going to fix everything. But, you know, people talk, Sean, people are going to get mad at me for this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to mention the words gun control.
Yeah.
Or common sense gun laws. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a, air quotes, common sense gun law, I've said you could sell me on two individuals. Not gun stores, two individuals selling a gun to one, or, you know, one buying, making a deal for a gun, having to go through somebody with a federal gun license.
Yeah.
And there's that for the background check, and just a broker. Here's $20 for your time. And that way you're making sure you're not selling to somebody with a felony. I would pay it if I was selling a gun, because if I sell a felon a gun and they go commit a crime, I'm charged.
Are you? I don't know. I've never seen
that before. Yeah, I thought you're responsible if you sell a gun to
I've never run into that. Maybe that's – I'd have to look that up. I've never run into that situation where I prosecuted a scenario like that. It may be true, but I just – I don't know.
I feel like this came up a few weeks ago.
Did it? Yeah. I don't know. But I've never run into that before. I think most of the public actually are for that. Those kind of what we call common sense gun control laws, like – background checks. I think it's like 70% of the public is for that.
Yeah. I've never seen the numbers, but
it's a huge percentage. I think they're for that.
I get pinged every time and have to wait whatever the maximum number of days is.
But I agree with the premise of what you're saying is sometimes our laws are really stupid. So you can buy a rifle at 18, but you can't buy a handgun till you're 21. You know, I joined the Marines when I was 17. My parents just had to sign, and I was on Paris Island at boot camp before my 18th birthday, and that's okay, but we can't, you know what I mean? It is
a federal law, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, so like I can go to Paris Island in Marines at 17, not even 18 years old. And that's cool with the federal government, but this is not cool.
Let's see. Woodrow says there is no limit, no age limit or prohibition for selling a gun in Mississippi, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily understand that.
But there's a federal law that Hunter, I imagine he knows. So there's a federal law that prohibits that or sell the handgun to somebody under the age of 21.
Yeah, Josh says, so basically 18-year-olds in the military can use sidearm on bases. 18-year-olds do law enforcement in the military.
Yeah, I mean, I was a military police officer. So, yeah.
Let's see here. Frisco says, so can you give a 30-second summary of what happened? I missed the first 30 minutes of the show. Yeah, gun deal gone bad in Rankin County. Kid gets killed. Other two kids leave the scene, go turn themselves in. So this is what I want to say real quick. I want to button that up because we kind of got a little scatterbrained in that first segment talking about all this. The kid gets killed. Within 2 hours, the other two, the boyfriend and girlfriend, go turn themselves into the Rankin County Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. I say that raises some red flags for me because that's not very criminal-like to go turn yourselves in knowing that you may not ever leave the outside of those walls. Like, everybody's got a little business they need to tie, some loose ends they need to tie up, tell mama bye, whatever the case may be. And they just went straight over there without legal representation or anything, showed up and said, hey, we want to tell our side of the story. This, you know, they felt like there was more to it than a cold blood killing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hearing, take this for what it's worth, grain of salt here. I'm hearing they may walk on self defense and let a grand, and it goes to a grand jury.
They might just take it to the grand jury and no billet. That's what it's called. No billet.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called no billet when basically the grand jury chooses not to indict you. That's the way it is. So the grand, like, you take all the cases to the grand jury and you present them, and when you get indicted, it's called a true bill. And when you don't get indicted, it's called a no bill. And so I think, that would be the grand jury not indicting you in that scenario. So maybe, and that's up to the DA's office how they want to present that, if they want to present it, if that's the facts that they see. And that's a recommendation to, the police department. Or I guess the sheriff's office worked that case, right? Yeah. So whatever their recommendation is.
Yeah, that's just hearing from somebody kind of close to it that may or may not happen. But after some of the stuff I've heard, the way this whole thing went down, it feels like that. I wouldn't be shocked. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting to see. I see your theory there. I mean, I think it's these guys were immediately. They go to the sheriff's department and says, turning myself in. When we were off air, I said normally I would think like if you were in a self defense situation, you would call the police yourself because that bolsters your case. But then you kind of said that there was some guy there that may have been threatening and possible, so they wanted to get out of there. And who knows what the facts that were there? So maybe that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, they did show up to the sheriff's department. There was a gun in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. I presume that's the gun from the scene. So,
because I mean, like, if I shot somebody on the street or whatever, and it was a self, clearly, I'd call the police myself. Be like, hey, this is what happened. This guy tried to kill me. I shot him, and that's the deal. Like, you come here, I'm waiting on y'all. Like, that's what I would do. But now, this fact scenario may be different than that because there was another party, like you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I would say yes. I would like to do exactly what you just said. But in the moment of sheer terror of what just happened, adrenaline going crazy, you don't know. I'm not talking about you. I'm saying you don't know what you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, fight or flight, right?
Well, especially that age. I guess, you know, at our age, we're immediately, I know me or you would be like, we're calling the police right now because we shot this guy and, you know, it was totally self-defense. And we're going to make sure that, you know, we're sitting here, we'll share our location with the cops, you know, on the iPhone.
And I'll say this. If they're able to claim self-defense, that's really strong for it being in this other guy's house.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that works against them.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, they went there, and I mean, I guess the only witness is the girl, and there was two witnesses, the girl and the other guy. What's the other guy's relation to the whole thing? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Okay. Maybe a cousin, just friend, whatever. I don't know.
Of the victim?
Yeah.
Or the one who's, okay.
Yeah, maybe. That's just me speculating. I have no idea. He was there. He was friends with the victim.
Oh, so he was there already when these two arrived there. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one, I think. You know, I mean, you never know. Maybe he says, yeah, it was self-defense.
I'm guessing there's probably text messages about buying the gun.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happens there, you know, get there, it goes sideways. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of different ways. Somebody made a great point. It's like, why would you sell a gun with a loaded gun to somebody? And again, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. 20, yeah.
You know, want to be gangsters, you know. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Hey, guys, selling a car? Let me buy it from you. ClayBuysCars.com. All my contact information right there. Hey, look, if a gun deal can go sideways, so can a car deal. You meet these crazy people off of Facebook. They give you a fake check. They try to carjack you. Let me cut all that nonsense out of your life. Just sell me your car. Reach out to me. You can text me at 769-241-1944. You can shoot me an email, claybuyscars@gmail.com. claybuyscars@gmail.com. Or the easiest thing, go to the website. It's real simple. My email and my cell phone number are there. Holler at me, claybuyscars.com. All I'm going to need, I want to save you a little trouble. Shoot me four good pictures of the outside, four good pictures of the inside. A picture of your instrument cluster with the vehicle running. I need to see if them check engine lights are on. If there's any damage that I'm going to need to know about, let me know about it. Send me the VIN number, the miles, and same stuff you would want to see if you were buying a car from somebody. That's the best way I say that. Shoot it to me. I'm going to get you a offer pending seeing the vehicle. Still got to do a hands-on drive and test it out before I scratch you a check out, but I'm going to cut you a check same day if it's... If you got a payoff, no problem. We're going to take care of you. We just got to see if you're in the green or in the black. I guess it's technically in the red or in the black. I always say in the green. If you got money, if you owe less than it's worth, I call that being in the green because money's green. If you're upside down, we'll have to figure it out. You know, you'll have to pay the difference. But we will definitely work with you. ClayBuysCars.com. And look, I've teamed up with Noel Daniels Motor Company for this, so the money's good. There ain't a better name in the car business than Noel Daniels.
No,
Noel and Daniel Freeman over there, just two heavy hitters. So I've teamed up with these guys. We are ready to buy your vehicle today. I don't care if it's got 30 years old, 300,000 miles, or if it's a brand new vehicle you've made one note on. As long as the numbers make sense, we're ready to buy it. All right, Sean. Let's read a few guns in your text real quick. Because me and you got into a good conversation off air about comparing this to like a drug deal going bad.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Woodrow, appreciate you texting in this morning, brother, on the Guns and Gear text line. Says, there is no age limit prohibition for selling a gun in Mississippi to buy, by the way. A minor can sell a gun, no law against it. Had some guns stolen and sold to a pawn shop by a minor family member. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not debating if minors can sell guns or not. I know they can. I'm just saying, in my mind, if you allow them to buy them from a gun store, how many of these kind of bad deals could you cut out? Yeah. I don't think that would have swapped this one out. You had some people thinking they was about that gangster lifestyle and this, that, and the other based on some of the photos I've seen.
Yeah.
So this is what it is. Frankly, I'm surprised the gun wasn't a stolen gun.
Mm-hmm.
But neither here nor there. James says, gun laws are useless. I know people that have legit RPGs and... belt-fed machine guns in the Jackson area. All of it came across the border. Gun laws work about as good as the war on drugs has gone. I get it. And that's why I'm always hesitant to talk about common sense gun law. And when I mentioned that, making it where individuals can go and run through some, what is a firearm, FFL? Is that what the firearm license is called?
Is that what it
is? Whatever the federal firearm license, mm-hmm. Yeah, FFL, federal firearm license. Okay. If I prefer to broker a deal through somebody with an FFL just to protect myself.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not even talking about any of the other shenanigans here. It's like just to show that, hey, I know I didn't sell a gun to a felon.
Mm-hmm. But, well, I think you're kind of saying more like this is an optional thing to do for somebody to protect them, and not like you have to. Like, you're not like saying I'm banning a private gun sale or anything.
To me, if you were going to do something, maybe mm-hmm. that's
the way to do it.
Maybe that's the first thing I look at, and then that way it creates an opportunity for another economy or another boost of income for your people who have gun stores, and maybe they're not interested in it. Maybe they've said no, it takes too much time. The $20. That we can make on it ain't worth it. I don't know. I'm just jogging things through my head. Maybe somebody could tell me exactly why I'm wrong and crazy. I'm sure they're waiting to.
We were at the break talking about this, it's the context of what you're talking about now. With maybe going to a gun store, someone with a license and running a background check. The difference, there's a difference between, to me, it feels like a drug deal and a gun sale deal. What I mean is, like, when you go buy. Let's say you've gone and buy drugs before, right? Let's say you've done this before. Not saying I've done it, but just saying you've done it. Everybody's a little nervous at that point. It's that kind of a deal. Like you're going to, first of all, maybe the drugs are fake. Maybe they're going to rob you. Maybe they're going to want, like you were saying, the break, keep both. What if the person's a cop? There's a lot of things that make that a anxiety-filled scenario that buying a gun shouldn't be or wouldn't be to me. Going, like, if you were selling a gun in Brandon and you would advertise it and I'm like, oh, I call you up, hey man, I'm gonna go buy the gun, I wouldn't have the anxiety of buying a firearm that I would like engage in a drug deal.
Because the firearm's not illegal,
right? Exactly. So
the drug deal is a little different because both are illegal. It's illegal to sell, it's illegal to buy, mm-hmm. and it's illegal to possess. So both people are looking at that. And it depends on if you're talking about just a crackhead user, not a recreational.
Yeah.
There's like, a crackhead user versus the $20 dime bag, $20 rock seller. But if you're talking about somebody that is a distributor versus a street level dealer,
mm-hmm.
that kind of deal,
yeah.
where there's a mass quantities being bought, both guys are looking at the other guy thinking, how do I come out of this room with both?
Sure.
Because what's he going to do? Call the police if I rob him?
Yeah, can't do anything.
So it really just comes down to mano a mano, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess that that feels like what went wrong here.
Yeah.
Was they treated this like a drug deal, and somebody thought they was leaving the room with the gun and the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though it's a legal sale, apparently. So I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's what these kids treated this like. And obviously they did. I mean, somebody ended up dead.
Yeah.
So that's what they thought of. But that's what we were discussing, where it's just a naturally different kind of transaction.
Yeah. Right? Let's take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, we got about 30 seconds here before our top of the hour break. We'll be back at 8:07 with another hour to go. Coming up in hour two, I got a theory. Why are black Gen Xers so angry? You guys grew up in the 80s and 90s with me. There's nothing to be mad about. Also, Polo trying to get the judge kicked off his trial. Said internet memes of her laughing make it impossible for her to be fair. Also, Sean and I went to a Rankin County political crawfish boil yesterday. Sean Tindall was speaking. We're going to tell you all about that and more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on WYAB. Boom goes the dynamite. It's hour two of the most incendiary show on the RADIO, the radio. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I'm, of course, Clay Edwards. This segment is going to be brought to you by our friends over at Lakeland Glass and Tint. Get over there today for all of your automotive, home, and business window tinting needs. Hey, how about turning your vehicle into a rolling billboard? They can do that too. They can put that wrap on it. Maybe you just want to change the color. It doesn't have to be a logo designed billboard. I see a lot of people saw a Corvette the other day in Brandon that was had that chroma, I call it just that flip-flop paint job on it, and it was a wrap. Looked like it was chrome dipped, but it was purple and green and blue, you know, multicolored. Anyway, they can do all that. You like these fancy, these very modern flat black gunmetal gray flat paint jobs? They can. That's usually a wrap. They can do all that for you. Get over there, check them out today. And, of course, they are also now doing ceramic coating and paint protection film, a.k.a. PPF. They use Expel products. That is the industry-leading technology there. They're also the Expel Dealer of the Year back-to-back years. Just like America's back-to-back World War champs, Lakeland Glass and Tint is back-to-back Expel Dealer of the Year. Mississippi's very own. Flowood, Mississippi's very own. Locally owned, locally operated. LakelandGlassandTint.com. Get your quote today where quality matters. Lakeland Glass and Tint. Man, ring the bell. That was a good ad read right
that
there.
One, yeah, you go, man.
I need to get a bell in here. I can't get a bell. Jake's got a bell in his studio, and I don't want to feel like I'm stealing Jake's stuff, but ring the bell anyway.
For good company, too.
Absolutely.
No, Jason, for years.
All right. Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. 769-241-1944. The Mazda of Jackson phone line, 601-879-0002. And we got some breaking news here, a little sports news, but I find this interesting.
Okay.
Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back.
No way.
Yep. He should have already gotten it back.
He played for the Dolphins, man. I love Reggie.
I mean, played for the Saints. You know, I love it. He should have never lost his Heisman. I mean, considering that all players were getting, all those top-level players were getting money. Whatever. I mean, I know, broke the rules. It is what it is. But the rules now reflect that that ain't a rule break.
And the NCAA, it's not exactly. And they're, you know, I know sometimes it's not a popular opinion, but I think they're getting their justice. And it's not good. I'm not saying it's good for college football. That's not my argument for people texting to get mad. But it's just that they were making money off these kids for years.
Oh, yeah.
That's just what was going on.
Look, I hesitate to jump on it's the same as modern day slavery. Because of all, they get treated very well, and there's a lot of perks that come with being a college athlete. But it was definitely a ripoff.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, Clay, they're getting a college degree, and most of them aren't.
Yeah, exactly.
most of them aren't. You know, so I get it. There's that argument to be made.
Sure.
You know, for the lower 90%, but that top 10% that are going to go on to the NFL, the ones that are selling the jerseys, putting the butts in the seats, those kids. You treat your stars differently. If they can make $10 million in college through NIL deals, they damn well should be able to make $10 million in college through their NIL deals, because the NFL, the pros might not work out. We've seen plenty of busts.
Or you get hurt in college, you know, and then you ruin your pro career because somebody decided to run you ragged as a running back or whatever. I mean, there's just a million examples of this. So, I mean, I think it's the right thing for them. We're supposed to be a capitalist society, right? You know, these guys have a talent. They should be able to market it.
You know, that tests a lot of conservatives' inner thinking when you have to tie it back to the capitalist stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the old white guy watching college. I'm speaking for myself here. The old white guy watching college sports, like, man, these kids, they're having the time of their lives, man. They should just be glad to be out there. Mm-hmm. They're getting that degree. You know, we shouldn't have to pay them. You know, this is just the way it's been. It should always be this way. You know, man, if you're a capitalist and you got a product people want, and you're the product, you should be able to make money on it.
You know, I read Brett Kavanaugh, obviously, on the Supreme Court, wrote that opinion back when it came out. And he said something I thought was really amazing and didn't expect it from him. And he said, I know of no other institution that prides itself on the fact that it doesn't pay its workers. I thought that was a great statement, you know, because he was talking about the NCAA was talking about our value is that they're, you know, the amateurs. Yeah. And he was saying, I've never heard of this. And he really ripped them a new one. So
And to be honest, they're still not paying them.
No, they're not, right?
They're not. I mean, these NIL deals, which, I mean, the school facilitates, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, look, and I say this as a Mississippi State fan, we always struggled to compete at that level prior to this when everything was fair. And now, I mean, we're probably going to get left behind on a lot of this stuff. It just is what it is. Just the we've got a lot of engineers and whatnot, is and thank goodness. I mean, the state would collapse literally if we didn't have them. You know, state is a very engineer driven type college.
Oh yes.
But Ole Miss has got the lawyers and the doctors, and it just that lends itself to a wealthier alumni.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it was all fair, you know. But unless you were, you know, Nick Saban, then it was okay to do whatever you wanted to do. Yeah. You know, that was fine.
I mean, I could do a whole show about
this.
Yeah,
I know. We've got to just not jump off into this. Right?
Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back, well deserved, in my humble opinion. Sean, I want to talk about a theory I have. I made a video about this on TikTok yesterday, and it rang so many bells that one angry man called the radio station from Alabama demanding that I take it down or he was going to sue. I don't know what exactly his grounds for suing are. I hurt his feelings. I was above target. Whatever. Neither here nor there. The video didn't get taken down, and here we are talking about it. I just said, hey, look, I'm 46 years old. I came in there kind of at the tail end of Gen X. And I've noticed something.
Yeah, we're like the youngest Gen Xers, aren't we?
Correct. I mean, technically they call us Zillennials, but I refuse.
Mm-hmm.
I read the 77 to like 81 or something.
Yeah.
No, I'm a Gen Xer. Kiss my butt.
I say the same thing all the time. I don't want to identify with them.
No. I don't identify as that at all. I've just noticed this thing since Trump came down that escalator. I looked at a lot of the black guys my age,
mm-hmm.
and those seem to be the ones that are the most angry, with the most vitriol, the just the scowl on their face all the time, that just think that the world is built on white supremacy and there's a racist around every corner waiting to jump out and get them. And man, that ain't how we grew up. So I don't know where this shift in attitude came from, because I grew up with these guys in the 80s, especially the 90s, the early 2000s, till we kind of really got into our adulthood and stuff, and everybody had to get jobs and, you know, go on about their lives, start families, whatnot, careers. Man, we grew up with Jordan on the wall. And I'm talking about as a white guy. There wasn't no racism. I mean, we grew up idolizing black athletes. I stayed overnight at black kids' houses. They stayed at mine. One, a guy I don't even call a friend, I call a brother, is a black dude. Our family still do stuff, and he comes in from Arizona all the time. We grew up idolizing black athletes. The hip-hop stuff, I mean, tie that back into our story from earlier today. That ain't a race crime. That's some guys listening to too much rap music crime. We were those kids. We grew up on, I'm just going to kind of start early to mid-90s here. I'm not going to go all the way back to the 80s, but N.W.A., mm-hmm. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, shifting gears into like the Tupac, East Coast, West Coast, all that stuff. Then it was when hip hop took over the South, you had No Limit, Master P, and all that. Then it shifted gears to Cash Money taking over for the 99 and the 2000. We were all in the clubs together. Our neighborhoods were way more blended than they are now. Our schools, especially in Jackson, were way more blended than they are now.
Yep.
If you wanted to make an argument for racism now, just because of the fact that we're very segregated now, I could entertain that thought from both sides, not just white people getting away from black people. Black people have done a really good job of getting away from black white people as well. And, you know, until you get out in the suburbs, and then look at there, everything's blended again. Mm-hmm. The suburbs are not all white by no stretch of the imagination. That's a myth. Like, go look at the attendance figures, or like the demographics, not figures, the attendance demographics for somewhere like Pearl or Brandon.
Yeah.
It ain't what you would call white schools. They're about 50-50. Anyway.
Yeah, because, I mean, most people want to, you know, send their kids to safe areas. I mean,
safe areas.
Yeah, that's human nature. I mean,
it's called urban flight, not white flight.
Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily what it's, you know, become. I mean, I think if you have means, and especially if you have children, I tell this to a lot of my friends all the time. I don't have any kids, so for me, it's fine. I can live there, and it's not as big a deal. But, I mean, if I had kids, it's a tough sell to stay in Jackson. I mean, it lets, you know, maybe you've got the means to send them to private school, and that's different in that scenario. But if you're just a middle class person, I mean, you know, how do you, you can't send your kid to Jackson Public Schools. I think everybody kind of knows that at this point. 100%. White or black people, they all feel the same way. I mean, that's
100%. If you got the means, you're out of Jackson.
Yeah.
Or your kids are dangerous, out of JPS.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, just factual. That's where it's just, you know, that's, and again, like I said, that goes for black and white people. I think all feel that same way. Because it's just not, it's just not sustainable over there.
Yeah. Well, so I have continuing on my theory here about that 40, we'll just, let's say 45 to 55, 46 to 55 demographic, why they seem to have been the ones that are, that, like I say, man, just had the most racist vitriol right now. I can't think of a better, that feel the most oppressed. Whatever I'm trying to say here exactly, I can't quite articulate, but it's the ones that beat the can the loudest about America being a racist place, other than the young Gen Zers. They're the absolute, they're the most miserable people on planet Earth.
Did I tell you? I'll get in that one moment. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. That's the Gen Z group, that their political opinions have shifted so much.
They're the Free Palestine people. Yeah, that crew.
I was having a conversation with a guy who was a bartender. I'm not gonna say where, but you know, it was that right after St. Patty's Day when we all hung out. You know, and went out with, you met my friend Will, and Will and I had kind of volunteered on the Gore campaign back in 2000, and we were talking about me and this guy I met. We were talking about a professor that we had at Millsaps who I dearly loved, and apparently he had him too, but he's about 16, 17 years younger than me. And professor died, was a political science professor. And, you know, Will and I were talking about the Gore campaign. And, you know, this guy was like, you know, I would never vote for Bill Clinton for president because he's a conservative. And Will and I just kind of looked at each other like, you know, that's the generational shift. And that's what this kid said. He said, you know, you guys are like 15, 16 years older than me. You guys are part of the old Democratic group that think Bill Clinton is like who you'd love to vote for, but their Gen Z group would never even consider it. And he was a smart kid, you know, smart guy. He wasn't giving me just like some stupid opinion. And I just thought that was really fascinating. And that's kind of goes into what you're saying with the Gaza people and that group. That's just a different mindset that they have now, that they believe that everything is, you know, an identity politic issue. And that, you know, that the whole approach that we used to have is like, let's build this colorblind society that you're talking about with everybody getting along. They don't want that. They want it to be based, like, your identity is the most important thing.
Well, to that point, their parents are us, are Gen Xers.
Yeah.
And that's the group that has shifted into, especially in the minorities, shifted into thinking everything's racist. That everything that whatever's happened in their life, why they're not where they want to be in life, is because of their race.
Yeah.
Versus the effort they chose to not or to put in or not put in. And Sean, like, it really, you watched it break in live time. Trump, I'm gonna take it back to Trump because that's where that's the lens I'm seeing this through. When Trump came down that escalator and announced he was running for president as a Republican, after Hillary Clinton had already said she was going to do it, after Obama had anointed Hillary, basically, after 8 years of Obama, the thought of having to go to a white Republican was just, It's just, they were gobsmacked. And they told us all, Trump's racist. And for once, normally that would work. Oh, I don't want to vote for the person that black people tell me is racist. I don't want them to think I'm racist by proxy. But we looked at him finally and said, hold on now, this don't make no sense. You guys have been co-signing on Trump for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Y'all told us he wasn't racist. Y'all told us he was welcome to the barbecue. Talked about him in all your rap songs, all the NAACP awards. You know, he was a pop culture icon. You guys told us this. Now you're just on the flip of a switch. He's a racist. He's a Klans member racist. But, bro, I got the resume. That don't check out.
But you know, that's interesting. So I kind of looked at the break. Cause I was telling you, I'm listening to stuff about how black men particularly are trending to Trump, though, this time. And so Wall Street Journal just did a poll 4 days ago. This is interesting. Black men, this is not all black people, just black men, 30% say they're in the seven key swing states, say they would definitely or probably vote for Trump for president. 30%.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely you're seeing a shift.
That's incredible. Like, you know, number for just, but I know this is not all sure. African American sport. This is just black men, and I think this has this political article I pulled up about it. It's about you actually brought this up one day about the, when they were in Atlanta and there was black folks cheering Trump going to the courthouse. Yeah. You remember that? It says that black men feel like they've been persecuted against, and Trump is kind of is looking that way too. So they're identifying with him as he's being taken advantage by the system, and they feel they have been too. So maybe that kind of goes into what you're talking about, like the anger and stuff. They got that anger is pushing a lot of them to Trump too.
Sure, sure. Is, well, I think so. And again, I'm only looking at this through a lens of my social media circle, what I see mm-hmm. in media, and but that is also some of the group. That's starting to turn the corner a little bit as well.
Yeah.
You know, people that got some life experience and can say, hey, like to your point, I've been persecuted. He's going through with what I feel like I've been going through. I just go back to like how on the flip of a switch does a guy go from being co-signed on for 30 years to nope, he's a racist. We said so. You got to vote that way. Well, man, it takes more than – it takes more than you telling me because I said so mm-hmm. for me to change my opinion on something. I need to see the evidence, and there's never been any evidence that Trump is a racist. And I'm damn sure not racist by proxy.
Well, I mean, apparently you're probably right. I mean, if this number, 30%, that's probably the highest African-American support a Republican's ever got. In our lifetime, you know, at least I would say.
Well, I remember them saying if he could have got 10% of African American support in the 2020 election, he would have walked away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what it ended up being, but
it said I think I looked it up. I think he got close to 10, or maybe, this time though he's looking at total African American support at around 17%.
Yeah,
which is that's a massive increase. And then you're talking about like I said 30% of actual black men, then the seven key swing states, which. If you look at it that way, how bad that would hurt Biden in those – because that's where the presidency's won in those states.
Well, that's why they're piping all these illegals into those swing states.
I mean, just like to try to register them to vote so they can vote?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break real quick. We'll pick this back up on the other side. You got Sean Yerkeron here in the studio with me. This is the Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back on WYAB. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. We're live here on WYAB. And this segment is going to be brought to you by our friends over at Boykin Contractors, located right there in Florence, Mississippi. But I don't guess it really mattered where they're located because they'll come to you here in the Tri-County area. Look, man, they can do construction, roofing, remodeling, additions, repairs. They can do it all over the metro area. They got tons of satisfied customers, plenty of repeat customers. And here's one of the key things. Due to some new laws that have passed in Mississippi, they are licensed, bonded, and insured with the Mississippi Board of Contractors. Here's the thing. If your contractor's not, your insurance company won't cover anything that they do. So just a heads up there. If something were to go wrong and you use an unlicensed contractor without licensed, bonded, insured, you are not going to be covered. If you got to make a claim on your homeowner's insurance, I'm not sure of all the details. Maybe if it's just on that addition or whatever, but just really, really be careful about who you're breaking bread with when it comes to construction projects around your home. Make sure that that everything's up to date. I would even go as far as to check with the Mississippi Board of Contractors and make sure they're registered with them and everything's current. You won't have to worry about that with Boykin. They are okay in that department. They're also a Christ-centered business, so they operate with honesty and integrity. You can find all of their reviews on Google, Facebook, etc. Or contact Bryce Boykin himself, the owner. Always just means a little more to me when you put your name on your business. It's just something about it. You're telling me that you're in this because you're about integrity when you put your name on it. His name's on it. I've been saying that forever. Boykin Contractors, 601-951-7336. Bryce Boykin and his crew will get you taken care of. All right, Sean, we have some text messages. Apparently, we have crashed the live feed, so that's always a good day at the office.
Renee texted me that around 7:15. He said that he couldn't get on, that it was crashed.
Yeah, I've had it from a few people. So, I'll take it, man. I told everybody to get in early this morning. It was going to be a big one. Shauna, Bobcat's calling you out here. Mm. Says, what type of mentally impaired person would campaign for the climate hustler Al Gore?
Mm. I'm sorry, Bobcat. You're right. I'm an idiot, and I can't read. It's horrible. I'm going to go pray now.
Was he wasn't the climate hustler in 01, though, was he?
He started that after, actually. He got into that whole thing. Yeah, it was after the 2000 election. Yeah. I'll say I've told you this before. I feel like history would have been different had he got elected. The Iraq war probably wouldn't have happened. You know, that war was not going to happen if an Al Gore presidency.
I would like to believe that. But knowing what I know now about these presidents and their infatuations for the military-industrial complex,
mm-hmm.
or its infatuations for making presidents do things they don't want to do, you never know. But I would like to believe you're right. Trump kept us out of wars, so yeah. I guess Al Gore could have too.
Well, I mean, I think that was, you know, more of the neocon kind of position with the Bush administration, yeah. and that they, you know, pushed us in the whole Iraq direction. Now, everybody voted for it, so, I mean, I'm not going to leave the Democrats not liable for that. I mean, they all jumped on the war bandwagon. Kind of what I was telling you the other day about Biden, what's interesting, you know, he was all pro-Iraq war too. And then now he's like okay, now he's kind of like signing up with Gaza a little bit. He's kind of slid that direction. I'm like, so for 20 years we've been fighting the terrorists, and now, well, that's out the door. You know, I think it's interesting.
I talked about this yesterday on the show. I have this theory. We keep trying to figure out who's running the country because we know it ain't Biden. Mm. Sean, I think it's Karine Jean-Pierre. And you know why I think that? Because we know she runs Biden's Twitter. That's fact. The Biden ain't typing that. Ain't sure. typing these well thought out tweets, as ignorant as they are. They're still well thought out, properly put together. Like Biden saying the WNBA women are underpaid and need to be paid fairly.
That's so stupid.
That is only something a gay black woman would say.
Does Biden even know there is a WNBA?
Surely not.
I mean.
Sure, I'm sure they've been to the White House because Karine Jean-Pierre, being a gay black woman, wants to make sure the Federation of Gay Black Women are overpaid for what they do.
Right.
That just felt like such a Karine Jean-Pierre, first gay black. I mean, she told us these things, guys. I'm not just making this up. She told us, I'm the first gay black White House spokesperson. That's her claim to fame. And she found out the hard way that that's a position you don't get to just have the title for. You actually got to, there's demands of that position, and you got to be a good liar. She is morphed into a little bit better liar. She's not quite Jen Psaki level, completely sociopathical yet, but she's getting there.
I think I heard you talk about the WNBA, and it seems to be like, if anybody doesn't understand that, the money's not there for it. Like, that's it. We're just talking about capitalism.
But we want it to be.
You know, it's just like you just can't. Clay, that kind of all relates into when we talk about like the grocery stores in Jackson or like that are not there. Well, you have to make money to run a business. Like, that's just part of the deal. And I don't understand how everybody just can't. It's not, business isn't fair. It's just not fair. It's not about fairness. It's about profit.
And, I mean, if it was about fairness, Walmart wouldn't have put all the mom and pop stores out of business.
No, it's not about that. I mean, you can't just.
We can't help ourselves. People just want to save 10 cents on their box of whatever, and they're going to go buy it from wherever 10 cents is cheaper. I will pat myself on the back, and this has more to do with just my sheer disdain of going to Walmart.
Yeah.
I do not like going to Walmart. I don't like the parking. I don't like the trailer park trash. I just, the whole thing. I just don't like Walmart. So I will go. I do shop at the locally owned grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I get there and I get to pat myself on the back like, ha, 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 look at me supporting my local businesses. And don't get me wrong. I do enjoy supporting local businesses, but it has probably more to do with the fact that I hate Walmart.
I'm with you. I don't really like going to Kroger either. Like, I go to Corner Market.
I don't go to the Kroger in Brandon.
I just don't like it. I like the smaller thing.
Walmart, Kroger celebrated Pride Month and I ain't been back.
Oh, is that the reason?
Yep. That's it. They had it's Pride Month nonsense at the front door, and I turned around and walked right out. Speaking of people doing dumb stuff, Sean,
mm-hmm.
I had to get blood yesterday. My testosterone levels pumping so hard, I had my blood thickened up a little bit,
yeah.
And that's the legitimate reason. So I went over to Mississippi Blood Services. I've said a lot today, and I've been doing so good about not doing that. So I went over to Mississippi Blood Services. Super nice people, by the way. If any of you ladies are listening this morning, thank y'all. Y'all are awesome. I'll be back in 8 weeks to give another pint. And this is not their fault. Again, so I'm not attacking the nice ladies there. They did all the work. However, there was two questions on the little pamphlet that they must ask you as you're giving blood the first time. Mm-hmm. Sean, one of them is, are you pregnant? And the other is, have you ever been pregnant?
Oh, yeah, you told me this.
I was like, you know, I'm a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, did they make you ask men that question? Because y'all know me, I'm not just taking this line down.
Yeah.
She was like, yes, they make us. I didn't ask her nothing else. I just wanted to get a confirmation that their diversity, equity, and inclusion department at Mississippi Blood Services makes them, maybe I won't be back in 8 weeks, makes them ask this question.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of speechless. What do you say to that?
Let me say, I don't want blood from a man that claims he was pregnant. If I get into an emergency situation and need blood, I would like to make sure mine did not come from a man that claims he was pregnant and or had a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, again, I'm just speechless. I don't know. How do you respond to that? I mean, it's just...
It's literal death by diversity.
Yeah. I mean, were you pregnant? I'm gonna go with no.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard no for me.
I'm going to say that, yep.
I mean, there were a lot of other interesting questions, you know, like, you know, if you got kids in the car, you may want to change the channel here in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There was a lot of interesting sexual questions on it as well. And I won't get into like the, you know, like gross non-radio friendly stuff, but the question, like, have you bought and or sold yourself sex? Have you prostituted or partaken in prostitution in the last 90 days? Or have you been with somebody that has prostituted themselves? I was like, I dang it, I better not have. I was like, I can tell you right
yeah,
now.
Right.
I mean, I've been on the purest run of my life the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, however long it's been. I know that I better not catch nothing now.
No, I think that question makes sense, though.
It does, 100%.
You know, totally get why they're asking that.
Yeah, you know? No, I was really impressed at the depth of the questions they were asking, but you know, they try to slide that pregnant thing in. We call them in the car business yes questions.
Mm-hmm.
You just ask customers a lot of yes questions. You get them in the habit of saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when you get them to, so when you work your way to the bottom and you sneak in, so you guys ready to do business today? They say yes. They done said yes. They got into the habit of it.
They got to do it right.
Yeah, that's the theory there. It's a mind game. Well, that's kind of what they were doing here, is they were sneaking in a bunch of, an all out assault on your senses questions that you're just like, no, 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 no. I mean, I answer no to every question they asked.
Yeah, especially the pregnant one.
Yeah, except the have you eaten in the last 4 hours. I was like, yes. I had to sneak a yes in there at the very end. And they just snuck this in like, have you been pregnant? They may have even asked, are you planning on – no, they didn't ask you, plan on getting pregnant.
Are you planning on – are you, Clay?
No.
Is it a change of life, baby?
No.
At 46?
And I'm just like, man, who are we entertaining that thinks that was born with testicles that thinks they can get pregnant? This is we've got to quit entertaining crazy people. Sean, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
This is the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yurkaran. We're going to try not to get knocked up on this break. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Hey, guys. How about a little Acme Pizza and Daiquiris tonight for dinner? It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day for somebody, probably me. From 4 p.m. to midnight, dine-in, carry-out, delivery, they got it all. You can also get daiquiris to go from there. I mean, I'm not drinking right now. I'm in ketosis. I'm trying to lose some weight. Your boy gained 25 pounds eating them country fried steaks 2 or 3 times a week. So I'm having to draw back a little bit. But when I get ready to splurge, I'm going to go splurge out at Acme Pizza and Daiquiri. Some of the best pizza I've ever had. They do have a gluten-free cauliflower-type crust pizza out there. I guess I could try that. Anyway, get over there, try them today. Try that cauliflower crust. I have heard, and I know that sounds terrible. Like, you just say cauliflower crust, like, ugh. But, man, if y'all have ever had it, you got, I bet your money side by side. You do a blind taste test, and I don't tell you which pizza's which. You will say the cauliflower crust tastes better. And you'll think it's the bread. I bet you $100.
It is good.
That's, I mean,
good.
It really is that dang good. Me and my girlfriend talk about this all the time. She's like, I'm convinced they're giving us the wrong one because it tastes so good. And we've tried it at multiple different pizza places, and they're all, it's the same thing. It's the same way at all of them.
Yeah.
They're better than the bread pizza, and I would have never, ever thunk that. Just try it. Look, they got 12 different specialty pizzas. The pig is obviously my favorite. The more pork and fat you can put on something, the more I like it. Get a little extra cheese. Try their breadsticks with cheese and marinara. That's always a pleasant one. The dynamite balls are a hit. It's a great appetizer. Probably one of the best appetizers in Mississippi, right up there with Burgers and Blues mozzarella sticks, Burgers, Blues, and barbecue. I'm going to have to beat that. I'm going to have to put a jar in here. And every time I call it Burgers and Blues, I'm going to have to put a dollar in it and donate it to charity. Just Burgers, Blues, barbecue. Anyway, Acme Pizza and Daiquiri, Phantom Mart on the res, right in front of the bowling alley, 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to midnight, slinging pizza later than anybody else in Rankin County. Get by there, check them out today, Chip Matthews and the team. All right, Sean, we got about 5, 6, 7 minutes left.
Yep.
Polo.
Okay.
Tell people what the Cypher voice, my former co-host, is up to.
Yeah.
Murder suspect.
The future of your co-host. kind of scary there. Yeah, he's, well, everybody knows Polo is Edwards, is Napoleon Edwards, that's his name, right? Is charged with murder, and he had a murder trial for killing, I don't remember his, do you remember his name, the victim?
Not, shamingly, not off the top of my head.
It was a love triangle kind of situation, I think, if I recall. And the trial was highly publicized. It was streamed on the internet. Everybody, we all watched it. I know Clay and I did. And there was one witness that was Polo's girlfriend, but also I think seeing this other guy. And she was Shadow was her name. That's right, Shadow. And she had made a reference that, you know, she had some good stuff on the stand. I'm not using the word she used, but she's, you know, and that's how she kind of, I think, lured Polo into, you know, falling for and all that stuff. And she said this on the witness stand, and the judge
Robert Davis was the victim,
and she said this on the witness stand. Everybody watched it live, and Judge Peterson, who had put her head down, you could see kind of during the testimony, which they took a picture of that. It went kind of viral, and everybody made memes. I made memes about it. It's pretty funny. And
well, some people get very embarrassed, you know, when they hear other people talk about sex.
Yeah.
And sexual stuff. Like, some people really, it's just not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear other people do it. Their cheeks get red. You know, they get a little anxiety. And maybe they get turned on, whatever. But some people don't just laugh it off.
I mean, especially in that setting, you're in the courtroom in the middle of a murder trial, you know. Yeah. I mean, you can make, believe me, I'm kind of known for that over the courthouse. I used to make jokes a lot. But it's a very serious thing, and then someone testifies to that, and it'll stand. So it's one of those times where it's so serious that when you say something like that, it's hilarious. Everybody's like trying to stop themselves from laughing. And Polo has filed a motion to recuse the judge because of her facial expressions, which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I did that in the courtroom, and judges, when things like that would happen, it's a very common occurrence, and not like she's biased because she put her head down when that testimony came out. So he's mad about all the memes making fun of this, and he thinks it's prejudiced him. And he also fired his attorney, I think, and that's another thing, because he said he
fired his free attorney.
His free attorney, he fired him and said he wasn't, I guess wasn't experienced enough, I think is what it says in the motion. And that's it. So that's where we are with it. The trial set for July 29th, I believe.
And for anybody that don't realize, his previous court-appointed attorney, absolute legend.
Yeah, Tom Fortner.
Tom Fortner, who got him a mistrial. I mean, paint me shocked. I mean, if you watched that, that was a historically great performance.
It was. It was very good.
By Tom.
Tom's great. Tom's a great lawyer.
Like, mm-hmm. I legitimately started thinking Polo was going to walk.
I know. I thought he was, too, for a moment there. I was like, oh, my God. And
it was based on the stupidity of the of the jury. I'm just going to be honest here. I thought that they confused that cell phone data thing.
They did, I think.
So much that they created doubt.
Yeah. I mean, the cell phone data, you know, I thought the state brought the cell phone data out fine. Tom mucked it up. It is pretty. I've done it a million times. It actually isn't that hard to grasp, but I think you're right. I think that's probably what happened.
No, I thought the state did a great job. I thought Jody Owens' office did a good job. I don't really see what they did wrong. No. I just thought what Fortner did, mucking up the cell phone data, just frankly, just wordsmithing it.
It did.
It was really a master class in just how to create chaos and confusion.
It was really good. And, you know, I used to say this around the court because I loved cell phone data. Like, that was my thing. I really enjoyed it. I used to say, you know, we used kind of a phrase, I'm like, man, I'm going to cook somebody with this. Like, that's always what I would do. And that data, if you had that, I mean, you know, you're going to get somebody with it. Like, because everybody's got their cell phone, kind of gets what that is. And Polo was right there at the dang house, if I recall correctly, is what the thing came out. So it was interesting. I don't think he's going to be so lucky next time is my prediction on that. But
when nobody wants the cop. Nobody experienced wants it, right?
As far as I know, I mean, if somebody else will get appointed to it, but it's hard to follow up Tom. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it. So we got the.
Let's take a break real quick. I want to come back. I want a couple of minutes. I want to tell you about a speech we heard Sean Tindall, a DPS commissioner, give last night in our closing segment. We'll be right back. Breaking rules when necessary. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. As we get ready to land the plane for the day, Sean and I last night got invited out to a little political crawfish boil out in Rankin County. Really cool event. We got to hear Department of Public Safety Commissioner Sean Tindall give a little speech. And I'm going to tell you what, Sean, I think we both agree, left wing, right wing, center, whatever you want to call us. We both agree that DPS is an absolute great hands with Sean Tindall.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's why I think I leaned over to you and said, this guy needs to be governor.
His take and his vision for the Highway Patrol over the next 20 years, just his vision for law enforcement in the state, his reasoning for paying law enforcement more money, despite local cities being upset with kind of raising the price of tea in China, so to say. And I understand their argument. I do. And I don't want to knock those guys for their argument. I get it from a dollars and cents standpoint, but also get it from the law enforcement standpoint. It's like, hey, man, we're risking our lives. We need more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Sean is going to be doing good things. And, I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. He said that if Lynn Fitch decides to run for bigger office for something else, whatever, that he would like to be our next attorney general. And I'm going to tell you what, man, you should get excited if you're a Mississippian at the thought of Sean Tindall wanting to be your next attorney general.
Yeah, I think the guy's would do a great, absolutely great job of that. He's a former assistant DA, a court of appeals judge. He's got the experience for that. I think he's, you know, I'd love to see that happen too.
All right, Sean, great show today, man. Thank you, podcast, to be available here shortly. I will see you back tomorrow. This is the Clay Edwards Show.